Let's be clear. This is just a small step in the process of making Illinois strong and healthy and vibrant.
The whole Brexit vote, I think it's going to be negative for the London tech scene. It's also going to be much harder to attract those entrepreneurs that up to now have come from all over Europe and chosen London as their hub to start up.
This is not a budget. This is not a balanced budget. This is not a solution to our long-term challenges. This is a bridge to reform.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday. It is July 1st. Welcome to July, and it's the holiday weekend. It's getting underway, whether you like it or not. Welcome to another business day. I think it's going to be a short day for a lot of folks. Saw my neighbors this morning packing up the kids in the car well before dawn to get ready to hit the road. I think a lot of people are taking today off. Traffic is pretty light. We'll check in with Mary about that coming up. The markets are doing okay today. We have Paul Nolte sitting here for the fourth. We're going to be talking a little bit about the economy. But if I could just be sappy for a moment, this morning I had the opportunity to talk to a good friend via Skype who is serving in the military at a very disturbing place. And it reminded me just how lucky we are to be able to get up in the morning and sleep a full night knowing that people are protecting us all night long with arm and in dangerous places. And then as I was driving in, I was telling Nick DiGilio that on one of my street corners, there were people just dancing this morning at 4 o'clock on the corner, listening to Fly Jams Friday, obviously. And, you know, then you get on your phone and you check your internet and you get here and you listen to the radio and you have a free internet. And then you walk into the Tribune building here. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of coming into the building, but what greets you at the desk is above the desk, this inscription: "Let the people know the facts and the country will be safe." And for me, on the 4th of July, it's one of the things I take very dearly is the First Amendment. It's why I'm a journalist. And those words remind me every day of my job. So a little bit of sappiness. So we'll have a little 4th of July later, maybe a little cold beverage and a barbecue and do all the things that we do as Americans. But it is nice to be an American, very proud to be an American, and I hope you are as well, and celebrate very safely this weekend. And that brings in Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management. Sorry to get a little sappy on you there this morning, Paul.
It is very appropriate, very appropriate.
You know, one of my best memories is a kid growing up is my dad and my uncle sitting in the backyard, you know, having a cold beer, listening to the Cubs beat the Cardinals on the radio. And 4th of July always was like baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Remember that?
It was a few fireworks that were illegal. Yes.
Did they even run that commercial anymore? Hot dogs, apple pie? You know, I don't think so. That was one of the great ones. But let's talk a little bit about the people that we won our independence from so many years ago. The Brits, they seem to be going backwards.
They're declaring their independence from the EU. And as far as the financial markets are concerned, we're right back where we were essentially prior to the vote. So we had the big sell-off Friday and Monday and a rally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it is, though investors have decided, nothing to see here. That was last week's news. Move along. Time for something else.
And it is surprising because we saw those huge losses to build all of that back before the end of the week is a little bit surprising, but also I wouldn't get very comfortable with that. Would you?
No, we're not very comfortable with it. We're in the very early stages of a very long process. What we're seeing right now is a lot of political posturing by everybody in the EU, by England, trying to get what they're looking for. You have Germany that would like to admonish England for leaving, making it difficult for any other country to say, yeah, we want to leave too. And England trying to have things as they always have been, with the exception of being a part of the euro. So you've got two very different views and different positions that are going to be negotiated. And how those negotiations go, what comes out of it, and the political as well as economic harm are yet to be determined.
One of the things that we do as journalists is read between the lines a lot. We have to, and reading between the lines, I hear people say, well, maybe Great Britain will become Norway. sort of 1 foot in the EU, 1 foot out of the EU. Then these other countries are saying, maybe we could do this. And so that is what's on the horizon, right?
And that's what Germany's position is. Listen, if you're going to leave, we're going to make it incredibly difficult for you. There's going to be repercussions, as a parent admonishing their child for wrongdoing, making sure that you never do this again, and sending a message to other members of the EU. Listen, you really don't want to go down this path.
Right, because even though we're seeing the markets stabilize today, there are those who watch the trends and the undercurrents. So I was telling you before we went on the broadcast today, I spoke with an ag expert at Purdue this week who said agriculture is something that people are not talking about. There are all of these trade deals. There are, you name it, the dollar, all of that stuff that will not bode well. All of this stuff has to be undone in 2 years.
Right. And everything needs to be renegotiated. There's new rules of the road. We've got the Bank of England's chief Carney out overnight basically saying, hey, we're going to keep interest rates low. We're going to cut rates, make things easy. Money will be easy. So that's giving a hit to sterling. But you're right. All of these deals, all the contracts, everything else are going to have to be renegotiated, redone to take England out of the EU, and that's going to be an incredible drag economically.
I wonder, as a portfolio manager managing people's money, if you ever, after you've made an investment, gone to Google and said, what have I just done? Because that's what they did in Great Britain.
They did. No, we try to do a lot of homework up front, so we know exactly what we're doing when we do it. There has been some discussion about walking back that there has been floated at a couple different places. Can we redo this vote? Because we really didn't understand what we were doing when we did it. And you have some politicians that are trying to kind of go to the middle ground. We heard it from some representatives in the U.S. As well that, maybe we don't, because it is. It's a non-binding referendum, so they really don't have to do this.
Right.
Parliament has to vote on that yet. And there's been some rumblings in Parliament saying, we're just going to ignore that. So, again, this has yet to play out.
Yeah, I think it's Article 50, or maybe it's Article 15. And the vote was so close. It was like a million votes apart. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of evenly split, if you want to put like 50-50. So I could see that happening.
And that's part of the discussion. Part of the reason why I think the markets have made a comeback as well is because that door has been kind of cracked a little bit. So that's what I said. There's a ton of moving parts. Nobody is sure what the horizon has in store and what the landscape is going to look like 2 years out.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, U.S. stocks finished higher yesterday for the third day in a row after the steep slump that followed Britain's vote to leave the European Union. The Dow Jones gained 235 points to 17,929. The Standard & Poor's Index rose 28 points. The NASDAQ Composite added 63.5. Shares in Hershey soared following news of a possible acquisition. However, Hershey's board of directors unanimously rejected the offer from Mondelez, the maker of snacks like Oreos and Chips Ahoy. The rejected deal was worth roughly $23 billion. The Labor Department says weekly applications for unemployment benefits rose by 10,000 in the week that ended June 25th. Hiring has slowed, with employers adding just 38,000 jobs last month, the fewest in more than 5 years. And Atlantic City's main casino workers union says it will strike this morning against the Trump Taj Mahal after being unable to reach an agreement on a new contract. Nearly 1,000 workers will be off the job. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program, 522, our holiday edition or Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Paul Nolte, Kingsview Asset Management, in-house this morning. Paul, a question for you that I found from one of our listeners this week is a good one, right up your alley. Says he's about to retire, has a hefty cash reserve, which is nice, plans to invest savings, 50-50 mix of stocks and bond funds, but he's seeing lots of articles to stay away from bonds because of interest rates about to rise, which means bond prices will decline. Should he go ahead with his plan or stay away from bonds?
And as we've talked about since day one, bonds are a wonderful thing, and interest rates have been continuing to decline, and the value of those bonds have gone up. We're a big believer in bonds because it provides a good cushion to stocks. we saw it in spades this last week. Stocks were down 2 to 3% on Friday and then another 1% on Monday. Bonds did very well offsetting those losses. So a good 50-50 mix. You would have really not felt a lot from Friday and Monday's move. And then even on the rally back, you would have expected bonds to sell off as everybody gets piles back into the market. We haven't seen that yet. The fear is that, yeah, interest rates are going to rise. We're of the opinion that interest rates won't be going up anytime soon. We're seeing negative rates everywhere, and we're now down to 1.5 on the 10-year.
And you're thinking maybe not even all year, right?
Not even all year. And we're hearing rumblings out of some of the Fed governors that it's rates won't be going up. The economic backdrop is not strong enough. The thing to remember with bonds, if you're owning individual bonds, different than bond funds, is the bonds will mature. So at some point, 2020, 2015, or 2025 or whatever, you're going to get your money back. And we can argue about what that money is worth at that point, but you're going to get your money back and it can reinvest it into whatever the prevailing rate is. So when you're doing an individual bond portfolio, different than a bond fund, you want to ladder out the bonds and you've got that cash flow then, and you have some decisions to make as each of the bonds mature.
This past week, we heard early in the week when all this Brexit stuff was going on, one of the portfolio companies, one of the people that does all the data, they said that the average investor lost about, and I know we tell people not to look at their portfolios, I did, and a couple of other people did, about 4%
yes.
of our portfolio.
Yeah.
Is that back today? Is it all there? If I looked again, is it? Or?
You should be pretty close. Should be pretty close.
And
if not, then you got to come see me.
Right. But it drives home this point about don't look at day to day.
And we talked about it when we were here Friday.
Yeah.
You know, what did we do? We saw the futures down 200, 300, 400 points, and I told my clients, and we talked about it on air. This is a good time to sit on your hands. Wait for the dust to settle a little bit. See where things settle out before you make some rash decisions. And now we're essentially all the way back. It makes some sense to review where we at. Do I want to go through that episode again? And it comes down to risk. How much do you want to accept? When you look at your statement, what happens when it's down 5%, 10%? Do you flip out, sell everything? Or do you say, hey, this is a great buying opportunity. I'm going to take some of my money from bonds and I'm going to go buy a stock. And it's that risk and that attitude that determines how much stock you have in your portfolio versus bonds.
I look at mine and think I'm never going to be able to retire, number one, and I hope they keep making Beneful cat food when I'm 70 because it has peas and carrots in it. It kind of looks kind of delicious because I'll probably be eating cat food. On a happier note, let's talk a little bit about the 4th of July. I mean, we wouldn't be here, I guess, talking about any of this if it weren't for Independence Day. What do you do for the 4th of July? What are your traditions?
Oh, we'll be watching a fireworks show somewhere, whether it's down here on the lakefront or one of the suburban shows. And much as the baseball, we're going to take in the Cubby game on Monday against the much vaunted Cincinnati Reds. So it'll be a nice family affair.
I wanted to ask you about the American dream. And it seems this is a good time. Everybody's thinking about being patriotic and all that. And how, because you and I have been around for a while, how has the American dream in your perspective changed? Does it still exist? Is it worse? Better?
I will tell you what has changed, and this has been over the generation, is retirement. Our parents had a nice pension, got some Social Security, and now that's been changed to a 401k. And we can spend an entire show talking about the differences between 401k, pension, etc. There's some benefits to both. But in essence, it's now upon you to save the money as opposed to the company putting away money for you for your retirement. And unfortunately, a lot of people do not save first and put away enough money. And now it's been compounded by the fact that interest rates are so low and you're not getting that return on your money that you would have expected in the past or have achieved in the past. So if I'm only earning 2-3%, that means I have to put away twice as much than if I was earning 5 or 6%.
So less people smiling about the American dream today, do you think, than 20 years ago?
I think so. And because of the markets being as volatile as they've been since 2000, we've seen two markets now where that's declined 30, 40% in the course of 18 months or so. You've got a lot of people that are very gun-shy about the markets and very nervous about what the future holds for them.
Tech friends, I'm Alex Stone. Did you feel an earthquake? Simply type in the word earthquake and get all the details. Anybody who lives in earthquake country knows immediately after shaking, many people want to know how big the quake was and where it was centered. Now, Google says it's going to help out with that. Susan Kadreka is with Google.
People will be able to see a visual map of the earthquake and the affected areas.
Google is teaming up with the U.S. Geological Survey. It used to take many clicks on the USGS site to get information on quakes. Now all you simply do is go to Google, type earthquake, and any quake nearby will pop up.
So the data will be displayed on the search results page within seconds of receiving an update from the USGS. The USGS data, of course, which is distributed after seismologist review, is generally available within a few minutes for California events.
It does work globally, although some quakes outside of California may take longer, up to 30 minutes, to pop up on the site. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:39 as we continue our morning business conversation today. Holiday mode, big holiday mode. The Steve Cochran Show coming up. I think they're going to be flying around in a hot air balloon later on this morning. And Mary Vandeveld is going to be doing traffic over the expressways in a hot air balloon. And I think maybe Kermit the Frog is going to be there in a balloon as well. Lots of balloons later this morning, so make sure you stay tuned for the Steve Cochran Show. You know, as a journalist, you wake up and we get our show together. We do all these stories, and every year we hear the silliness, and a friend of mine usually calls it silly season. But the fact that the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, has to remind people not to bring fireworks onto aircraft, onto their planes, into their luggage, seems to me like the most silly thing in the world. And I don't want to editorialize, but they've actually, in the front page of their blog this morning, if you go there, they've even got a big poster, "Fireworks don't fly. Do not put fireworks in your baggage or carry on. Here's what they say. No fountain rockets, no chasers, no ground spinners, parachute fireworks, popper snaps, skyrockets, missiles, Roman candles, smoke fireworks. You get the idea. The fact that they have to remind people is crazy. It is one of the busy holiday weekends, and we want to bring in our expert today. Rick Cini's off for the holiday, but sitting in for him today, Billy Sinas of faircompare.com, based in Dallas. And Billy, thanks first for being with us on the Opening Bell this morning. A big holiday weekend coming up. I guess the big question is, are the airlines doing any better, or is the TSA doing any better?
Yeah, one key thing is, you know, make sure that you get to the airport on time. You know, usually I recommend 2 hours before, but it being one of the busiest air travel days of the year, I suggest getting there 2.5 to 3 hours before you go. And then before you do that, also just check the TSA website for the lines. All right, sometimes it could take, depending on the airport that you go to, Midway or O'Hare, it could take you about an hour just to get through security.
The first summer holiday, we saw just a nightmare for travelers. Does the TSA seem to have its act together?
You know, I think that they're doing a much better job. You know, they're looking at better opportunities and better staffing. But still, there's a lot of people traveling, right? Travel continues to be affordable, right? And there's more opportunities for us, especially from Chicago, to go to great destinations. So I think it's still going to be pretty busy. And the TSA is actually doing a much better job.
The head of TSA security here in Chicago at O'Hare has quit. She put in her retirement. Mm-hmm. This obviously has something to do with all of this. Do you think that this is a shakeup tied to that mess? And do you think we'll see more of these?
You know, I'm not sure if it's directly related, but I know that the TSA is really looking at everything that they're trying to do, just try to do a better job. I know that earlier this summer, you know, it was pretty bad. And it cost a lot of problems, not only for the passengers, but also for the airlines and the airports themselves. So I think, I think steps are being made and being taken and are being done just to make sure that, you know, we can have the whole system working and working right.
This week, a lot of the attention has been focused on Brexit. As a travel expert, how big of a deal is this for travelers? Are we going to see just a nightmare scenario unfold here with the UK, Great Britain leaving the European Union? How will this impact air travel around the globe?
Well, there's a bunch of unknowns, right? Because there's a lot of treaties and arrangements between the EU that made travel easier and actually cheaper, right? From the European Common Aviation Area, which allows, you know, European countries to fly to each other without major restrictions, to, you know, less of a border crossing burden for most European countries. You know, that is the one challenge that, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But what we are seeing right now is that there's actually huge demand to go to Europe, especially going into England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. Fare searches for that since last Thursday have increased a daily average of more than 40% that we have seen. So I know people are very, very interested. And at the same time, fares are actually extremely cheap. Actually, from Chicago, it's one of the cheapest places to fly to Europe, where, you know, you can get a bargain price flight to London for $463 in next month, right? So there's great opportunity, plus the pound being devaluated a bit, about 14-15%. Our dollar is going to go a lot further down there, right, for hotels, food, and entertainment.
So this is something that is on the horizon, but it's not something that we should panic about if we have travel planned for there.
No, I would always say is stop and think, right? Things are not going to happen so quickly. You know, what they've estimated is the whole divorce would take about 2 years. Still has to go through Parliament and get approved, right? It was just a public referendum, but Parliament has to act on it. Then they have to go through the whole process of decoupling themselves and creating better arrangements so that, you know, economic issues won't arise, like, you know, that you won't be able to fly from country to country easily, or, you know, take cargo or allow people to work in different parts of Europe, which is actually very important for the travel industry, right? Because they have that freedom to send, you know, employees to work in different airports or different hotels, or even with bus companies that they travel all over Europe.
We're seeing today, I think it was Hawaiian Airlines dealing with this aftermath this week. All of these airline companies seem to have been losing money and shares, stock shares, this week. They said that they have an answer to this. They're just not going to fly to Great Britain. Is that something we might see other airlines decide not to do?
I don't know, because it's still an extremely lucrative route, especially, I mean, think about it, Chicago to London and New York to London are some of the key financial flights or for the financial service, right, that are always flying back and forth. So I don't know if more people are going to be more as extreme. I think that what's going to happen is if demand softens, you know, capacity will be reduced. But I don't think it's going to be such a such a end of the world scenario. I think it's the uncertainty now that's making us all feel a little bit nervous. But I think in this nervousness, if you're smart about it, you can actually get down there for a great price. You know, we're going to go with my family of four, which I usually would pay about $4,100 for all of us to get down there to London. And I'm going to pay actually, I think, $3,100. Right, so I'm saving about $1,000 that I can use for hotels, or I can just put in, you know, my retirement account.
Billy Sainz is with FareCompare.com, sitting in for Rick Cini today. You can find FareCompare at FareCompare.com, at FareCompare on Twitter, with us about holiday travel by air this 4th of July weekend.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, 551 now here on The Opening Bell on the WGN Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are lower by about 34 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Joining us this morning is Orion Samuelson. Orion, how did commodities do yesterday? Did they gain ground, or are we still in a nervous mode after this Brexit?
Brexit really didn't impact the commodity market all that much. It did the day after the vote because all of the markets reacted. But, you know, another proof once again of you don't sell in a panic down market, and we've certainly seen the market come back. But the big news for agriculture came yesterday at 11 o'clock when we got two very important reports from the Department of Agriculture. And I want to again review those reports because in March we get the planting intentions report. Farmers tell us how many acres of corn, soybeans, wheat they will be planting for this crop year. But then at the end of June 30th, yesterday, the department issues the planted acreage report. How much did they follow through on the acres they said they were going to plant back in March? Well, it surprised everybody because after the March planting intentions, traders thought with the rally in soybean prices, we'd be taking acres out of corn, putting them into soybeans. All of the numbers came in yesterday above expectations. A couple of examples. Back in March, farmers said they would plant 93,600,000 acres of corn. The report yesterday said they planted 94,148,000. Soybeans in March, they said they'd plant 82 million acres. Yesterday, the soybean number came in at 83 million acres that they actually, 83.6 that they actually planting. And after that March report, traders and buyers around the world were thinking, boy, we're not going to see a higher corn acreage planted report, and we're going to see a much higher soybean planted acreage report. And so when the numbers came out yesterday, along with the grain stocks, that was the other surprise because all of those numbers came in above expectations as well. So we saw a big jump in the soybean price yesterday. Even though the acreage numbers were up, but they weren't up as much as expectations. So going to be from now on, the factor will be weather. We get our next important crop report, probably the 11th of July that it'll be out. But the big report now that we'll wait for is the August crop report, because that one deals with actual weather conditions, actual planted acres, and any projections they make now on the crop based on historical projections using averages of the past. So it was quite a day yesterday, Steve, in the grain market at the Chicago Board of Trade.
One of the ag websites I go to on a daily basis is kind of, maybe giggle just a little bit this morning. It's a picture of a cow and a pig, and they look like they're smiling, and the headline says, "Commodities are crushing it in 2016. Is it shaping up to be a good year?
Well, again, weather now becomes the factor, and so far we've had a good start. There are a few dry spots in the main corn soybean area, but we like heat, we like moisture, and we have been getting that so far. And it proves once again that we can produce like crazy with technology and equipment that we have today, because we have the highest corn stocks now, or soybean stocks, since 1988. And, you know, over the years with ethanol and with biodiesel, we've had concerns about, well, we can't produce enough to make livestock feed and human food and energy. We can. Yeah. We're doing it. And we're now exporting ethanol. It's a major industry in this country. So you give farmers the financial incentive, you betcha they'll produce.
And, you know, happy 4th of July to you and all the farmers. And thanks to all of them for giving us all of the food and freedom that we have in this country.
Well, they make it possible for a lot of people not to worry about food, you know, when only 2% of our population is involved in production agriculture. They account for 20% of the jobs in the United States. And I'm really bothered by the presidential candidates and their opinions on trade and trade agreements. Hillary and Donald and Bernie haven't got the foggiest idea of what it takes to feed the world.
Yeah.
And so I'm concerned about that's my political comment for the 4th of July.
Have a good 4th of July weekend, Orion.
Thank you. You too.
All right. It's 5:56. And the show today, we want to end on a musical note of sorts as we get ready for the Steve Cochran Show. We'll be off on Monday, back on Tuesday. The show is produced by Mary Sandberg. Our assistant producer is Bennett Wakenight. Bob Ferguson here, our engineer. I'd like to leave you this morning with probably one of my favorite patriotic songs. Remember the first inauguration of President Obama, My Country, Tis of Thee, Aretha Franklin performing that live as we say goodbye and have a great weekend. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Here's Aretha.